showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Hey, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Good morning. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise here running the board. And we were just off the air visiting about Juan Soto and the St. Louis Cardinals and actually, we were talking more about Patrick Corbin. I don't think Soto ever came
disgusting.
Up.
It's disgusting.
We suck. Right. Now, I will say this. I thought of this on the way in. We are taking the next 2 days off from the show. So we will not be here Thursday and Friday, back on Monday. So whenever we are not here, it seems as though something big happens, right? Especially me. When I'm not here and I'm out of town, something big happens. Is that the idea? Is that the cue, Derek Piper, that the Juan Soto trade is going to happen in the next 3 days?
It would make a lot of sense timing-wise.
It would.
And we have some new rumors about who could possibly be involved in the Juan Soto deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan Gorman's name is now being thrown around, so Cardinals must be pretty serious, even beyond just the guys with taking pictures in their basement on Twitter and they're getting likes and retweets and everything. So this might actually have some real legs to it, which is exciting, but not exciting is Patrick Corbin, which we revisited before the show, that he makes $24 million next year, $35 million the year after that before being a free agent in 25. And of course the Nationals would prefer to dump him off on somebody in this deal. I mean Juan Soto is probably that good to be able to get away with that.
Right.
But Trevor even brought up, what was six runs and how many innings today?
Two-thirds of an inning, about an hour ago.
Not even an inning.
Now, it was the Dodgers, so you can qualify that probably the best offense in the National League. But he got pulled after two-thirds of an inning after giving up six runs about an hour ago.
I thought you had said he went two innings.
No, he went two-thirds of an inning.
Didn't even make an inning. That's bad.
Now, it doesn't mean if you take on his contract, you'd have to justify paying someone $24 million and not to start him every fifth day.
Right.
Could you throw him in the bullpen? He's pretty much got to eat that money.
Was he that good at one point? I guess I don't recall him being that good. Who was he that good for?
Crickets. Was it the D-backs or was it early was on it? In his Nationals days?
I want to say the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
Because I know that when he was trying to sign with the Nationals.
I didn't mean to put you guys on the spot. I assumed you.
Yankees were also in there.
Okay.
The Yankees wanted him, and the Nationals outbid the Yankees for him.
Oh, my goodness.
So, obviously, at one point, he was at least somewhat of a valuable commodity.
Wow. Okay. And this is what I told you, Pipes. Let's say the going rate is Walker, Wynn. Is it McGreevy? I get his name wrong. He's the young pitcher that is really good. They're really high on him here in a couple of years. And Gorman, let's say. Which I'd be shocked they wouldn't ask for Carlson, like just to replace Juan Soto, obviously, in the outfield, or at least get an outfielder to replace him. But I don't know. Their farm system, maybe their surplus is outfield.
They might see Gorman as more of a high upside guy, which we would all probably agree with, than Dylan Carlson. So maybe that's where they're at this point in total rebuild mode with the Nationals. I'm going to say, give us the best available.
Yeah, and that's a good point. We'll plug holes elsewhere. But if that was what it took to get Juan Soto, just that, right? Those four guys. And then if the Nats came to you and said, but we want to throw Corbin in and is 24 next year and 35 the next, we will let you pull back anybody but Walker, which in my mind would be Nolan Gorman, would you make the deal then, or would you rather just make that first deal where you just give them the four guys and only get Juan Soto?
That's tough because I'd like to keep Nolan Gorman, but the problem is you got to pay Juan Soto the money that he's going to be due in addition to Arenado and Goldschmidt, and then you're paying Patrick Corbin like a top-end starter even though he's not. Yeah. So that even cash straps you even more. So,
and what's amazing is the Cardinals need pitching.
That is the funny part.
But they don't need Patrick Corbin,
he's
obviously.
He's been so bad, though, that you can't even look at him as a J.A. Happ, a John Lester. Like,
right.
He's been so bad that you can't even go, well, you know, at least he'll give us five innings and give up four runs and, you know, strike a few out or
keep
something.
Keep you in the game.
It's not even lasting an inning.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
It's not a one-year sample size either. So this year he's 4-13, about to be 4-14 with a 6.02 ERA. That was going into today. That's going to go up to 7 probably. Last year he was 9-16 with an ERA near 6, and then 2020 shortened season, 11 games, 2-7 record, an ERA around 5. So he's been objectively terrible all but 1 year for the Nationals, that being his first year of the contract.
Here's what's weird. Okay, and I understand he's got a big contract, and I understand it doesn't take much, like a heartbeat and a left-hander, or a heartbeat and you can get a win every third day to make a lot of money. But here's from 12 to 22. Here's the records, all right? 6-8, 14-8, 6-5, 5-13, 14-13, 11-7. Now, granted, these were the Diamondbacks, so they weren't very good. 11-7, then 14-7 with the Nats, and then ever since that 14-7 year, 2-7, 9-16, and 4-13, as you just mentioned. I mean, his overall record in Major League Baseball is 85-97. And again, you have
that would be cool if records mattered.
Right, exactly. And you have to throw
I knew that
in.
Was coming out of Trevor.
Yeah, and that's true. But here, okay, does ERA, his career ERA is 4.22.
Also, when you're like 4-15, I'm not going to argue with you about how he could have had three or four wins, but had a quality start. Like, he's clearly bad when he's that bad.
But touche, and you're right. I mean, the record, he has 6 complete games. WHIP is 1.33 career, 4.22 ERA. He does have 1,400 strikeouts to 700 walks. Or, no, I'm sorry. 1,400 strikeouts.
None of that matters when he's been this bad lately.
But, man.
I mean, I
would
almost
say I just don't know how he got in that jam in the first place, in other words.
I don't know. And I think if you're the Cardinals, it would be hard to figure out. I mean, unless you're going to call everybody up around the league and try to get truthful answers out of other GMs, who else is willing to take on Patrick Corbin? As far as people who are negotiating with the Nationals at this point, now they might say, we don't have to trade Soto now. We can wait because we still have a couple more years of control for him. But his value is about as high as it's going to get because of the control of, what is it, this year and then two more years before he then is signed to some mega deal. I don't know. Who else is willing to do this to take on that kind of money for a pitcher that – shouldn't even be pitching based on his results here recently.
And it is funny, the idea that Lon's basically pitching, and he's not wrong, the hypothetical that from the National side, they're saying, we will give you an extra player and take away a valuable player from your end. Like they'll lower the ask by adding
a
someone
guy.
Else in, which just on paper makes no sense. Like, if you were doing that in the video game, it wouldn't let you.
It's so weird.
You know, add a quote-unquote asset, but then take away an asset returning. But he's been such a negative that you're basically saying the Nats might lower their deal just to throw him in the deal.
It's funny. Fresh off a 10-3 beating, we start the show off with the Cardinals and trade talks. But we're getting close to that point where something's going to happen. And, of course, we mentioned yesterday about Wilson Contreras. I just hate that whole story. I hate the idea of it, the thought of it. But I just don't know how it doesn't happen is the crazy thing. And I think the Cubbies could get a nice haul for a guy like Wilson Contreras who could go to a contender, or even not just a contender this season, Derek, but someone that could contend for the next 3 years who maybe isn't that adequate right now at catcher, and you add him to a roster, I mean, that would be incredible to add him. But
he's pretty valuable, and around the league, the number of teams that have above average hitting catchers is probably as low as it's been. I mean, I know it's easy to sit here and say, but there's a lot of guys hitting 200, and Wilson, his average isn't crazy. What is it, like 250, 255? Mm-hmm. But he gives you the pop, and obviously You do like what he does behind the plate as well. So it's just jarring the fact, and we understand how it's played out, but that we're 5 years removed from a Cubs World Series and literally nobody's going to be left as far as the mainstays from that team will all have evaporated. It just, you never would have pictured it that way. You would have thought that the Cubs would go on some, I don't know if they would be a dynasty, but would go on a run to where they're in the mix for the next 5 years, maybe win another World Series, and then, you know, Rizzo might stay. You would think that a couple of those guys, like Rizzo and Contreras, all right, yeah, we don't want to re-sign Baez or we can't afford Bryant, that would play out. But to have everybody gone is just
what could have changed that? What could have changed that? If Chris Bryant had, and look, Albert Pujols' first 11 seasons is up there with the best in baseball. So I'm not going to throw that on Chris Bryant, but is it as simple to say if Chris Bryant would have continued at MVP level, do you think that's enough then for the Cubs to say, okay, well, hold on. We have our guy. We have our anchor. Now let's pick and choose. Let's keep Rizzo. Let's keep Contreras. Let's maybe let Baez walk. Too many strikeouts. He's needing a lot of money. Is there anything that could have stopped what happened? I know there has to be.
I mean, yeah, the answer is yes. But
what would it have been?
I don't specifically know. I think you make a good point. If you have that cornerstone that you are absolutely convinced is that guy, which obviously they weren't, and it wasn't even their fault. I mean, he kept getting his shoulder jammed.
Right.
And he just didn't seem like he was the same. He finally gets back from the shoulder, and he gets hit in the head his first game back. And then he's out for a few weeks because he's concussed. And it's just like, I mean, heck, even this year with the Rockies, we've joked about how he has one home run.
That's
crazy. Or maybe two or three now.
That's crazy.
Because he's been hurt 90% of the season.
Wow.
So, yeah, obviously that didn't help. The lack of pitching development has been an often made
point.
I mean, behind, you know,
point.
When you sign Lester, Lackey, you trade for Hendricks, and then suddenly that core gets old or ineffective, and you look and you go, Alec Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, minus who am I, the guy that beats us every time?
Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah,
Hendricks.
Minus him. Yep. I mean, you didn't really have anybody in the future to look at and say, okay, well, we'll pin our hopes on him.
Now, I would push back a little bit on people who, and believe me, I'm still in this camp, but people who say they didn't do enough, they didn't spend enough. I mean, a few years ago, they signed Yu Darvish to an insanely large contract. He was great. They signed Craig Kimbrell when no one had any money. They let Ben Zobrist basically retire to open up the money to sign Craig Kimbrell like a month into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he became somewhat of an asset, at least trade-wise. So I wouldn't sit here and say, like, well, you know, the owners basically just threw up their hands and said, well, Chris Bryant sometimes gets hurt, so let's just blow the whole thing. Like,
that wasn't
the thing that precipitated it. Obviously, it was a mixture of circumstances. You thought Addison Russell would be your long-term shortstop.
Yeah, and then he had the issues.
He gets into domestic issues, and now he's playing in Japan or something. Like, there was a lot of stuff that went into, you know, someone should and probably will write a book about it.
The
downfall of the Cubs after that World Series. And if you look back, there were certain things that I think never made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I among many will argue that Joe Maddon hurt you more than he helped you in that World Series with the slew of moves that he made in Game 6 and 7 in that World Series.
Yeah.
And I know Miguel Montero, who was really good in that series, said on parade day that he was basically upset with the way Maddon managed him.
Wow.
And I always thought that was such a strange thing to say the day after you won the World Series. And maybe you look back in those
maybe
types of things.
Take one day to
appreciate
things.
Like, take a week to just get drunk before you have to, you know, rip your guy.
Those hockey guys, they don't do that.
So there was stuff like that, but I don't think anyone at the time thought that was that strange. You're just looking back at it now going, well, they fired Maddon. Miguel Montero made these weird comments about him, you know. So maybe you look into it and there was some stuff that I don't want to say that it was the biggest goal in sports history accomplished, and then everyone just exhaled.
I'm with you.
Because, again, they signed Darvish. They traded for Jose Quintana. They traded away Eloy Jimenez. Everybody thought Quintana was going to be great because he was.
He was.
He was the most consistent pitcher in baseball. Every single game, he went seven innings and gave up three runs or less.
Yep.
He comes to the Cubs, and he stinks.
Yeah.
He stinks out loud. Out of nowhere. Wow. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't anything. So I would push back on people who say, basically, Theo Epstein
point.
And the Ricketts just kicked their feet up after winning that and didn't really attempt to salvage it, because I do think they did to a degree.
Yeah.
They signed guys. They tried their best. The problem was, no matter what you were trying, if you're 2 years removed from a World Series and your offseason move is like signing Daniel Descalso,
right.
Descalso, like,
yeah.
You have to zoom out and be like, this is not cutting it.
It's funny you brought up Yu Darvish, because to me, that was the white flag.
It was.
When he was really good with you guys,
yep,
and showed no reason why he wouldn't be a Cy Young contender the next season.
Completely
and then
agree.
All of a sudden, it's like, he's gone.
It was weird.
And I'm like, whoa. If there's one thing the Cubs needed,
yep,
it was pitching.
Yep.
And you had one of the better pitchers, and then you just got rid of him.
Now, I guess I will credit Jed Hoyer, who's taken over for Theo Epstein, in the sense of, I guess at least he's picked a direction.
Fair.
Like, maybe if you keep Baez and he's still striking out and you signed him, it's sort of like, well, why do that when you could have traded him too?
That's fair.
You know, but to Derek's point, like, a guy like Rizzo literally had quotes that he would rather go down with a sinking ship than sign elsewhere. And it's like, how do you let that guy go? Like, the captain of your team for a decade is telling you he would rather lose with you than win a ring with the Yankees. And you're like, nope, to
man,
you. That's the stuff where it's just like, at a certain point, it's almost like they're managing it too much like a video game.
Right.
In a way, right? Where they're just like, they're shipping everybody out. And it's like, yeah, but at a certain point, you're really going to start to lose people here.
Exactly.
I haven't watched a Cubs game in months, and I'm not saying that hyperbolically either. Like, I literally have not sat down and watched a Cubs game in months.
Ryan Lieber said it. He's like, it's not cute anymore. The losing's not cute anymore.
No, not that
the
it ever was.
The lovable losers, no.
I mean, I never found it cute.
Exactly.
But it just feels a lot more directionless now.
Because now you know that you've won a World Series. You know it can be done.
It didn't have to be this way,
correct,
I think, is the end point.
It's
but back
weird.
To your question, I don't really know. I can't sit here and list five specific bullet points. If this happened, and this happened, it wouldn't be this way.
That's fair.
It's sort of an overarching ownership bailed way too much when they could not have. COVID didn't help, but no one likes to hear that reason.
I'm with you.
So I don't know. Theo Epstein left. Obviously, he didn't like the direction it was going.
Right.
Or at least he didn't want to stick around for another rebuild.
Is he anywhere right now? Like, what's he doing?
Just in the basket.
Just hanging in a basket at Wrigley?
In the bleachers,
I think he's like an advisor to baseball or something.
Oh, okay.
Basically one of those jobs that isn't a job, but you still get paid to basically give your opinion to Rob Manfred or something.
That's so funny.
A lot of people think he should be commissioner because he knows what he's doing and Rob Manfred doesn't. But
well, I don't think a lot of people would argue that.
He That's ended the Red Sox streak, the Cubs streak. He shouldn't have a real job right now.
Right. He should be hanging in the basket. He should be doing
Why
exactly
not?
What they did, what they showed him doing.
I wish I had 2 hours to sit here and do a 30 for 30 x-ray on exactly what went wrong and when.
I think it'd be cool.
I've got it all in my head. I just, when you say name the two things that could have happened differently, I just don't know off the top of my head, like the one thing that could have changed all of this.
Next week? Coming up next week, Trevor Valise is going to unveil a two-hour. I will literally just bring us in and out of breaks, and every once in a while, Derek Piper will mention something. The rest of the time, I'll be on the couch, and I will listen to your two-hour breakdown of why the Cubs went from where they were to where they are now.
I mean, they just let Schwarber walk. They didn't trade him.
Yeah, that's another one.
He's hitting 35 home runs right now, and the season's halfway over, and they just let him go.
Mm. I mean, if you had a team of Darvish, Contreras, Schwarber, and Rizzo.
I would have never thought Rizzo would have left, so I would put him in that group too.
Those four.
You'd have to figure out the pitching.
That's the problem.
That's where I get slightly conflicted with the complaining. Am I that much happier if the Cubs are 42 and 40 right now?
Yeah.
And the pitching is still an issue behind Darvish. And while Rizzo's fun, he's old.
Let me tell you why you are happier, because you would be watching games.
You're right.
It would still matter.
You're right.
Right? And you're like
Derek.
And
you'd have
a
chance to win a very subpar NL Central.
Right, yep. Exactly. I mean, you'd be like Piper and I, who come in and complain, and yet the Cardinals are still in striking distance. And, you know, get the violins out for Derek and Lon again. Here we go. But at least there's a reason to watch.
People believe, and I think rightfully so, that the Cubs, after winning that World Series, should be in the category of the Dodgers and the Yankees,
mm-hmm,
where no matter what is happening, that they find the money, and they always, every year the Dodgers, you're like, they're signing him too?
I know.
Like, they just add, like, Blake Treinen for another $10 million. You're like, oh, my God. Or the Yankees add Garrett Cole for another $200 million. It's like, whatever, you know, they don't mind. Just keep adding. So people think the Cubs should be in that territory. And frankly, as the, you know, third biggest market. They just opened their own TV network.
Incredible.
They've completely, this isn't a word, but corporatized the Wrigleyville area with the hotels and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
There isn't a reason why they can't find the money to continually throw
mm-hmm.
at the Yu Darvishes of the world. But again, I do push back a tiny bit because they have tried some things. They've just decided to jettison the entire effort.
You bring up a good point around the stadium. You look at what Ballpark Village has done for the DeWitt family, and yet payroll is down $20 million this year. I mean, Ballpark Village essentially shut down the landing and shut down a lot of St. Louis, the hot spots. And believe me, I know that because that's one area where I am strong at, knowing where the good bars are. And they essentially shut down most of St. Louis minus Soulard. And so you forget that every beer you spend in Ballpark Village goes to the DeWitt family. And yet you're going to cut payroll $20 million. Mm-hmm. And
I feel like you're doing a Brian Windhorst. Why is that?
Yeah.
Fingers in the air. Why is that?
Why is that?
That's always going to fall on deaf ears from fans, right?
No, it is.
Because it was the Ricketts that came out and said they would have biblical losses during that COVID
right.
year. And people are like, dude, you're making so much money hand over fist. Biblical losses.
The point is, you're bad management then. Because you were making, nobody argues that you lost money during that time. But you should have been making so much before that if you did any kind of management and investment, then that kind of a year, while it certainly hurts, don't get me wrong, it hurt everybody, you should be able to overcome that and get right back to where you were in a hurry because you had six surplus years leading into the one bad one. But if it's anything like my finances, soon as I get it, I spend it. So maybe the Ricketts are like that. Maybe they're doing that. All right, we've got like a lot of football stuff for Media Day. It's Illinois Day, right? Well, it wasn't, but we like to think it was. Brett Bielema met, of course, today at Big Ten Media Days with the media. We've got that. Josh Whitman, we could play a snippet of. He met with the local, what do they call it, a scrum. The scrum
the
with
media
the media.
Scrum, yep.
The media scrum.
Which always somehow sounds violent, even though there's nothing right. violent about it.
Well, listen, I'm not scrumming with Bielema or Whitman. I'm not messing with those guys.
You'd rather be a Ferentz guy, Kirk Ferentz?
Yeah, I'll go after him. Exactly. Yeah.
By the way, pop quiz, who was the only Big Ten coach that said he didn't like where all this was heading? It was Kirk Ferentz.
That makes so much sense.
Just crotchety old Kirk.
Yep, it makes so much sense. Who do you want to hear from first? Coach B?
Let's do it.
Let's do that. When we come back, we'll do that. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255, that's the U of I, Line of Lake text line. You can find us on Twitter, at TheDrive935. I'm at Lante, ESPNCU.
I'm at DPiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevieJay.com, stevieJay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Trevor's waving for everybody watching.
I like it.
Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
It is The Drive.
Introducing Homegrown, a farm-to-table restaurant located at the Atkins Golf Club at the University of Illinois. What happens when your foundation is local, farm-to-table? It's like eating out of your own garden. Local food is fresher and tastes better, healthier. It creates community and better community health. And Homegrown has Chef Ryan Rogers, who worked at Alinea, one of the finest restaurants in America. Homegrown, a farm-to-table restaurant, brand new at the Atkins Golf Club. Just visit eatathomegrown.com.
Hi. We're your Prairie Gardens plant experts. You know, I think one of the things that people forget to think about in the summertime, the heat of the summer, is watering.
Also on our annual plants, in our containers and hanging baskets, water is super important. And we should check that in the morning, especially. That way they can go into the day being hydrated.
And not just the annuals we planted this spring, but any of those trees and shrubs that we've just planted, they can just go wilty.
Come to Prairie Gardens, Springfield and Duncan, Champaign.
If you're in the market for a new car battery, you could go to one of those big box stores, except there's no guarantee you'll be served by an actual car expert.
Clean up in aisle three.
You could pick a battery off the shelf, except it might be close to expiring. Or you could just come into Interstate. Don't make a big box store blunder. With competitive prices and a more personal, reliable approach, Interstate Batteries is the clear-cut choice if you want to guarantee yourself a new and trustworthy car battery. They're open and ready to serve you at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign.
Hail to the orange.
And the Illini in the debut of Brett Bielema celebrate a win.
Hail to the blue.
They have upset number intercept.
Hail alma mater.
The land of Lincoln Trophy. Back in Champaign where it belongs.
Fighting Illini football tickets on sale now with ticket packages as low as $22 per game for all seven home games. Get tickets at FightingIllini.com. Hail to the Orange.
Baseball's best rivalry returns to Busch Stadium for a midweek series August 2nd through the 4th. Catch the Cardinals and Cubs series with great seats remaining starting at just $10. Or enjoy the game like a VIP with an all-inclusive ticket in one of Busch Stadium's premier club areas. That's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The Cardinals and the Cubs at Busch Stadium. Get your tickets today at Cardinals.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Don't miss the final days of our Everything BOGO sale. Through Sunday only, you can buy 1 square foot of any floor and get the second foot half off. That's any carpet, any floor. Our hottest selling luxury vinyl floors, durable and pet friendly carpet, beautiful hardwood, and classic tile. It's all BOGO half off, including our Shaw Floors collection and incredible waterproof Cortec floors. Discounts on material only. See store for details. Then shop our amazing selection of furniture, rugs, and accessories. It's all buy one, get one half off. Plus, you can buy any carpet or any floor with special 2 years financing with zero interest. You'll always find unmatched service from our family-owned business. If you're ready to start a project, we're here for you. Don't miss the Everything BOGO sale through Sunday only at Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. We're flooring people.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
If you're looking for a wedding or special event venue, consider Homegrown, a farm-to-table restaurant brand new at the Atkins Golf Club that has plenty of terrific space for that special day with incredible photo opportunities on and around the golf course. They can take care of plenty of your wedding guests or guests for your special event. Go to eatathomegrown.com to get more information about a space that has current availabilities. It's eatathomegrown.com at the Atkins Golf Club at the University of Illinois.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola is your local furniture expert. They've been in business over 50 years and their sales team has over 150 years of experience. They carry everything you need to furnish your whole house with top name brands such as Broyhill, Lane, Ashley, Smith Brothers, Bemco Mattresses, and Mohawk Carpeting. Their showroom is huge with over 30,000 square feet of furniture. Stop by Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola today or visit kelseyfurniture.com. K-E-L-S-E Kelsey Furniture, or like them on Facebook. Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Stop into Game Day Spirit to shop the hottest selection of Fighting Illini gear in town. They carry classics from great brands like Nike, Champion, Carhartt, and more. And with the new styles arriving daily, they're sure to have something for every Illini fan. Shop with them in-store at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. If you're listening and you've never been to a true barbecue joint, you need to stop a minute and come check it out. It's all about the local meat. It's all about the preparation. So aside from the typical barbecue offerings of brisket and pulled pork, turkey, we also offer our own spin on a few non-traditional sandwiches. You can also find our fine products in some of Central Illinois' best grocery stores. Stop by and check us out. That's HumbleHogBBQ.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's your girl, Chiney Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive with Tane Piper, Derek Piper, Lante Charvelise. Day 2 of Big Ten Media Days at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis today. And Lon is laughing about something. I do not know what it is.
Well, I had to bring up a calendar to look at the days we worked for Janet over here, and it's just an interesting calendar popped up. So I'll just stop
there. What kind of calendars you
looking
at?
Well, I know. I was like, okay.
Interesting.
It's nothing that bad.
I was on that computer earlier, but I deny any involvement with whatever popped up.
I think it isn't that bad. Okay, I'll put it that way.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
You're good.
I'm good now. Now I'm good, yeah.
Well, today on the calendar was the day for Brett Bielema, Josh Whitman to meet with the media in Indianapolis, and we have audio from your Illini head football coach, which you can hear now on The Drive.
Sweet.
Last season's student ticket sales were up 70%. Yeah. Do you still see the excitement with fans this year?
I do, just in a variety of different ways. I would say as a head coach, the one thing I've learned is to kind of pick up on little things that maybe people don't see in front of them. Everybody kind of in DIA focuses on their job, right? So I got that information from the ticket office. But just in our community, you know, people that come in our building and talk about the buzz from our players. We had a couple staff changes that we were in, support staff, dietitian. Obviously, I announced Sean Snyder yesterday, so I had some people through the building. And they just talk about the feel and the buzz in that Smith Center, and I think that's real. So the student ticket sales up 70% from where we were when we started, I think is a big deal.
How did this go down with Sean?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, obviously Ben gave you guys an update yesterday, so it's really been a tough situation to work through, right? Like last spring, we weren't quite sure if he'd be with us in the fall, and then really as spring developed, we knew that at some point he was not going to be with us for the fall, and he and I sat down and had a conversation and really took us to the decision that we would kind of, in reality, kind of put him on the shelf as a football coach. Now, he can actually still recruit for us. He can make phone calls, do things. There are certain rules that are in play, so he's still full, active recruiter, but the NCAA allows me to replace him on the field. So Sean really becomes one of my 10 assistant coaches. He'll coordinate our special teams and run and with our specialists. But Sean and I actually started at the University of Iowa together. I met him in the Slater dormitory. He left after a couple years and went with his dad to Kansas State. And then when I went to Kansas State, he was there as a coach. And obviously, we had a relationship already. And then really just stayed close with him. Coach Snyder and I are very close, his father. When I first took the job, I actually considered him, but he was at USC. And then the way the cookie crumbled, the way it kind of played out, I reached out to him and afforded this opportunity. And the impact he's had on our specialists has been very positive. One of the NCAA rules allowed us to work on the field with our guys this year, one-on-one. And so he's already gotten some one-on-one work, which has never been able to be done in college football. So the timing of it, as bad as it is timing for Coach Miller and what he's going through, is very positive as of late. And then the addition of Sean has been awesome.
How does the tight end room affect that?
Yeah, great question. So, sometimes you go through things, you don't even realize how beneficial things are until they're kind of unmasked. And literally every offensive coach I hired has coached the tight ends in their career, right? So Barry Lunny coached the tight ends for me for 5 years. Corey Patterson coached the tight ends before I came here. George McDonald coached tight ends at Stanford, and then Bart Miller coached tight ends at Air Force. So all four of those guys are kind of combining into that room, and Barry and I will work together to make sure that daily needs are met. And then also two of my GAs, one of them will be there from a pure functional standpoint with them every day in the meeting room on the field. And then we've hired some analysts that can kind of help coaches. They can't be on the field, but Courtney Messingham is a guy that I added from K-State staff who's been around a lot of really good football, national championship guy that has been a huge asset to our team. You know, for me personally, I've always really liked tight ends, right? And it's what allowed me to get my hands dirty with them a little bit as well.
What kind of improvements in the passing game have you seen under Barry Lunny?
You know, just overall, I think the passing game, the way that he distributes the ball, the way we line up, the way we move, obviously the use of tempo has got our kids very excited. The passing game depends a lot on quarterback play, right? And to have Art returning from a year ago, and then also the addition of Tommy. We also, Kirkland Michaud is a transfer coming in, Ryan Johnson, obviously Samari Collier, and then also Donovan Leary has been an impressive guy, so I think the passing game is going to be a lot about off quarterback play.
Going back to Wisconsin, going back to the process of being hired, what did you tell Josh Whitman and administration that you needed to be successful at Illinois, whether that be administratively or on the field?
You know, what I did know going into the job, right, is I've been in this conference a lot, and you know, there's some little things that have begun to happen that kind of people don't take notice of, but a simple thing, we have a roster now of 118, right? That grew from, I believe, 105, 110, and it's really because I wanted to have a good pool of walk-on players, right? There had been some success stories at Illinois of walk-ons, but probably nothing to the premium that we're trying to add now, the value of those roster spots. Josh okayed and approved the addition of, we've now got customized helmets, right? It's the best helmet available, which was a huge cost factor, but he knew it was important, and a simple thing like that kind of changed a couple things in our equipment room, the shoulder pads, the way we equip our players, and a huge thing, they moved up the transition in Memorial Stadium of the turf a couple of years, right? And that was a huge undertaking financially, also the scheduling. So there's all kinds of little things that Josh and I have, you know, talked about early stages of it. And then as we've evolved after that 5-7 season, look at what we kind of needed to be successful, and it's been a huge work in progress.
You're going back to Wisconsin for
yeah,
the first time.
I heard that.
Are you looking forward to it? What kind of...
Yeah, you know, because I've played in this conference, right, I've had a couple of these moments, right? I remember the first time I came back to Iowa as a coach, right? And I got a Tiger Hawk tattoo when I was 19. It was a hell of an idea back then, you know? And so there's things that just familiarity-wise, right? Like, I think the most challenging thing in Camp Randall that day will be the guy across the sidelines. Paul Chris was my offensive coordinator for 6 years. So Bob Bostad is the offensive line coach. He worked for me the entire time. Several of my former players, Jimmy Leonard, the defense coordinator, was the first player I had a meeting with when I took the job at Wisconsin, because he was kind of the leader of defense. I was D coordinator, and we had an hour meeting that flew by and built a relationship that still exists today. So I know there will be a lot written about that day, but it's really about the two teams on the field. I'll try to do anything I can to minimize the stories about me returning there. But obviously, familiar faces. I got to see Coach a minute ago, and you know, I spent 9 years there. It's a big part of my life and who I am today. So. Yeah, that would be special on that day.
Who's your starting quarterback?
Who's my starting quarterback? Whoever you want it to be right now. You know what? I knew that question was going to come. You know, right now, similar to kind of last year, I think you guys all probably thought BP was going to be the guy, but it really wasn't decided until game week. So the week of our game, you know, I know our room will know, our team will know who the starter is. But until that point, unless someone separates themselves, I love the competition. I think the players enjoy the competition. As coaches, we'll definitely skew the reps as we get closer to what we think we're going to go to. But I don't know if we'll announce to you guys for sure on game week, but I know our team will know who our starting quarterback is a week out for sure.
Brett, you talked a lot about the growth. What's the biggest step forward you've seen your team make this offseason?
I think the understanding of what we're asking, right? Like, it's one thing, you know, even today, when I was riding over yesterday with Isaiah, Chase, and Sid, a lot of times they would answer a question that I gave them with information I say a lot, right, which they're regurgitating. You can teach anything, anybody to say anything. It's but what they believe in, what they feel. That's what I go back to. Like, I've been a head coach a long time now, right? And the thing I can feel about this team is they understand what we're saying, why we're saying it, what's expected of them. They're doing an incredible job of pushing each other. Like, sometimes tough love is best love, right? And some of our guys have really been hard on each other. The information I've gotten back from Tank and his crew around our players is how much they're challenging and pushing each other. And I think once you have that created, that's when something special can happen.
Brett Bielema with the right game in full force.
Right?
Right?
I love sometimes tough love's the best love, right?
Right. I love listening to Coach. Interesting, nope. 70% ticket sales up for students. That's good. I don't know about the rest of. I know they have some ticket deals out there that – I mean, I'll be honest with you, and I've said this forever, and it's up to you if you want to go to a game. I'm not sitting here pleading for people to go watch Illinois football. That is completely up to you. There's plenty to do on fall Saturdays. But if you are considering going to a game or games, you're not going to find better prices in a Power 5 conference. It's just that simple. And part of that is the reason that Illinois hasn't won. So they have to price it right, correct? And the price is low. I mean, you can get season tickets in the Horseshoe for under $200. And that's every home game. You see the likes of Michigan and Ohio State and Wisconsin and Iowa and on and on. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think with Brett Bielema, I know this year could be a little tricky, but we'll see. I believe in him and the idea that he's going to get us to at least 6 or 7 wins. I mean,
this year is what you're talking about. Or consistently. Once you hit.
I think it'd be tough to get to 6
the middle of his tenure.
Yeah, right.
Or after this year, potentially.
Exactly. Then I think you can get to, you got to get a quarterback. Did you see that, you know, I call him O'Leary, but Leary's brother, Devin, of course, I mean, he's considered one of the top 8 quarterbacks in college football at NC State.
Yep.
If you could get anywhere near that, right? If this Leary that we have, is it Donovan?
Donovan Leary.
If he could get top 30 quarterbacks in the country, you'd be in really good shape.
If Illinois could get average Big Ten quarterback play.
Yes.
They'd have a chance to be, I mean, they'd be probably a bowl team.
They would.
If they continue to have the running game that they've had here recently. One thing, we'll go nitty gritty once we get into August. I'm excited to do that. I was looking at some stuff on the offensive line today.
Nice.
I don't know if there's some questions. I think we kind of assume like, oh, Illinois, strong run game, good offensive line. Is the offensive line going
to
be as good
here
this year? There are some
worries me to death.
Question marks and potential not great on the depth side, but.
And if Paucho wouldn't have come back.
Yeah.
Woo! Worries me to death.
A lot of time to get into that.
Hey, Josh Whitman also met with the scrum today. Happy to say nobody attempted to do any damage to Josh Whitman because he would literally just flick his finger and you'd be done, basically. When we come back, we'll hear from your athletic director. It is The Drive.
I'm Kofi Coburn. When it comes to facing my opponents on the basketball court, that's easy. You know what else is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care.
That's right, Kofi. When you need care for minor illnesses and injuries that's easy to get when and where you need it, OSF On-Call Urgent Care is your MVP. Walk in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even holidays, or connect with a virtual visit 24/7, 365 days a year. Visit osfoncall.org.
Looking for a way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them the most. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. We're a family of over 800,000 strong, and we come from all backgrounds, professions, ages, genders, races, and ethnicities. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at www.makemeafirefighter.org.
Call your local village office or reach out on social media. A big thanks to those who are volunteering to be a part of the fire department from Stevie J Broadcasting.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I get excited to come to work every day because it allows me to improve my skill every day, becoming better at the job so we can give better patient care to the patients that come in to get their blood drawn.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra, visit carl.org/careers.
Short-term market fluctuations can be unnerving for everyone. A proven way to tune out the noise and focus on long-term investment goals is to adhere to a well-constructed investment plan. This is Starla Carr with Provident Financial Group. If you don't have a plan in place, we can help create one designed specifically for you. Call us today for a complimentary consultation at 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, or registered investment advisor.
If your car breaks down or needs to be repaired, trust the experts at Beaumont Alignment Plus to step up. For routine maintenance like tune-ups, oil changes, brakes, or tires, you can count on Beaumont. They'll also service bigger issues like alignment, suspension work, starters, or transmission problems. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for all your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. You can trust the dedicated family-owned team of professionals at Beaumont Alignment Plus. Online at BeaumontAlignment.com.
Hey, it's Sagat from the Dan Le Batard Show, and you are listening to Tay and Piper on ESPN Radio 93.5 in Champaign. How about that?
Oh, well.
It's all good. Lon's not paying attention.
Nope.
He tried to call you on that one time, but he was completely wrong.
That's right. And now he's just actively having a conversation while we're on the air.
He's on the therapy couch.
He is on the unsponsored couch.
Contemplating the give back for the Cardinals.
That's right.
In the Juan Soto deal. It is the Drive with Tay and Piper, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, Lonte, and absentee today. Josh Whitman was not at Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis. You will hear from the Atlanta Athletic Director who spoke on Notre Dame potentially being added to the conference. Among some other topics, here is Josh Whitman.
USC and UCLA in the Big Ten kind of going national.
Yeah, I'm excited about the addition. I think that I'm really proud that the Big Ten continues to evolve and innovate. College athletics is changing, and the Big Ten, I think, has a responsibility to be a leader in that space. It's a great opportunity for the conference, for our program, get into Southern California, a new market for us, great alumni base out that direction, opportunity for us to build our brand in California, recruit more actively, I think, in that area. So I'm excited. Obviously, I love what the Big Ten was when I was playing in it, but really proud to continue to be what the Big Ten is and what it's becoming.
There's some talk about getting rid of divisions. I was playing in the Big Ten before. Are you more of the traditionalist, or, you know, you talked about wanting to expand and kind of evolving. What's your opinion on divisions?
Well, the true traditionalists remember the Big Ten without divisions before, which is what it was when I played in it. And so, you know, the Big Ten has gone through several stages of its life cycle, and it wasn't that long ago that we didn't have divisions. Obviously, we do now. I really do value the geographic rivalries that we have. I like the ability for our fans to be able to get in the car and drive and join us on the road. But I also understand that the landscape is changing, and as the membership grows, obviously there's only so many games that we can play. We want to make sure that our teams are all playing one another, that our student athletes have a chance to play in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, that they have a chance to play in the Coliseum against USC. Those, to me, are important parts of that experience. And so it'll be an evolution. We'll make changes, I think, as we deem appropriate. As I've said from the beginning, I think what's most important to me is that we allow some of these changing landscape pieces to clarify themselves, and then let's make a single round of changes rather than make a series of changes over a period of years. So I'm hopeful that will happen. But it's just a dynamic time in college athletics, and really excited about where the Big Ten's positioned within that.
Josh, do you get the sense that Kevin and the Big Ten officials understand the travel concerns of non-football, like your tennis team, your non-revenue sports going across the country and going over multiple time zones?
I think so. And we've got 2 years here to work with the Big Ten staff and some of our administrators on the various campuses to try and identify the best ways to tackle some of those opportunities. Our student-athletes already travel extensively. You look at our warm weather sports, quote-unquote, the tennises, the track and fields, the golfs. I mean, they're already on airplanes every weekend starting back in February, March. Obviously, they're not competing outside in Champaign, Illinois at that time of year. And so most of those teams are already making trips west or south with some regularity. And for us, this provides those student-athletes with another great educational opportunity, chance to visit Los Angeles, to be in really dynamic marketplace in our country. There's an element to that as well. And so we'll work through the next 2 years here, what some of those logistics may look like. But overall, I think it's going to be a net positive for all of our student athletes, not just our football and men's basketball athletes.
Brett mentioned, you know, new helmets, new turf. Is there, what's next, I guess, on maybe your wish list or his to continue to add?
We just have to continue to identify those things, and obviously Brett and I are in regular communication, and he helps us identify where those needs are. I think we've really addressed a lot of what I would call the big rocks in terms of our potential to grow and become more competitive. But now we're looking at incremental change. What are some of the things that we can do that will continue to pave the way for the program to progress?
But ultimately, those evolve through conversation between he and I, and we try and be as aggressive as we can to address those things as they develop.
What were your conversations like with Justin before he left, and did you make efforts to try and keep him in shape?
I had a lot of conversation with Justin. You know, he's somebody I have unbelievable respect for. I consider him to be a friend. I was not anticipating that particular call. That was one that the idea that he would transition over to the women's side of the sport wasn't something that I had really expected. But once it became apparent that he was heading that direction, I was very supportive of him. Obviously, to me, it was kind of an apples to oranges comparison. And if he wanted to make that switch over to the women's side, there wasn't a lot that we were going to be able to do to persuade him otherwise. He's a big loss for us. Really a tried and true Illini, obviously dating back to his days as a student athlete, what he was able to accomplish in men's gymnastics, and then later on as an Olympian, and of course in his time as a coach, a national champion coach, you don't have a lot of those. Just wish him all the best and excited about what's next for him.
What do you see as maybe the biggest challenge or hurdle to clear, you know, for the program, like maybe big picture-wise?
I think it's just continuing to gain momentum. I really was pleased with the progress we were able to make last year. I thought we played competitive football in every game except for maybe two. Had a chance to win every game down the stretch. Some of those games we did, some of those games we didn't. But to me, that was meaningful progress. I was really encouraged by the steps we made on the defensive side of the football. Really encouraged about some of the things we've done culturally inside the Smith Center. There's a renewed sense of confidence, energy, and as we head into this new year, I think it's just continuing to build on that. To me, that's really the secret, is you've got to make incremental progress with each year. You can't take steps back. You've got to continue to push yourself forward and really give Coach B and the staff and the student athletes a lot of credit. They've had an incredibly productive offseason, and looking forward to seeing them get out on the field next week.
Josh, what impact is the expansion with UCLA?
I think it's all positive. I think anything that ultimately is to the betterment of the Big Ten Conference is to the betterment of the University of Illinois, and that may require some short-term sacrifices for us. It may require us to, again, make decisions that are in the best interest of the whole, understanding that in the long term, what's in the best interest of the whole is in the best interest of us. But I think that in the short term here, it's a great opportunity for us to continue to augment our brand. For us to, again, be exposed to a new part of the country. Obviously, the business elements of it are still to be determined, but the financial upside, I think, will be meaningful for us and for the other members. So there are a lot of really positive elements to it. It's a great chance for us to affiliate with two of the great brands in college athletics. I think I read somewhere that UCLA and USC have maybe second and third most national championships in all sports of any schools in the country. And so the chance to bring in schools with such great tradition, not just in maybe the most visible sports of football and men's basketball, but all sports, I think just can't help but raise the water level for everybody.
Second straight year you're playing week zero, Josh. If that's something, I know you have 100% control over this, but if it's something you could do annually, would you? And would it be interesting to you?
I certainly have enjoyed it. It's our first two opportunities to do the week zero thing during my tenure. We'd want to talk with Coach B about it, but I think there are a lot of advantages. Certainly you get the benefit of the second bye week in the midst of the season. I think you get to start a little bit earlier. You get a better feel for who you have coming out of the box. You get to make that week one to week two improvement before presumably your week two opponent plays their first game. And I think our fans appreciate it, because we think about bye weeks in terms of our student athletes and their rest and their preparation, but gives our fans a chance to step away for a weekend as well, and allows them to come back into the stadium the next week refreshed and ready to go. And so I think there are a lot of built-in advantages there. Obviously, we appreciate the national platform it provides, a chance to kind of step out of a crowded space on a traditional Saturday and gain some eyeballs. So there are, I think, a lot of pros to it. We'll see if as we go forward, there are more opportunities to try and take advantage of that.